Amen. Praise the Lord for the worship this morning, glorifying our God. Boy, isn't He great. Take your Bibles this morning, go to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter number one, and we are rocketing our way through the book of Philippians. This morning we will look at one verse through the book of Philippians, chapter number one. Is where we are this morning. It's so great to be together. Great to hear you sing together. Such an important part of worshiping God is lifting our voices in song to Him. And He truly is altogether lovely, altogether worthy. And we praise God for all that He has done. And we especially praise God for His Word that He has given to us and given us truth that we can live by and that we can trust in and that we can grow thereby. As you know, we have been studying the book of Philippians. We took a little detour last week because it was Resurrection Sunday. And I have some good news for you that Jesus is still alive. And we praise God for who we have as a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we don't serve a dead Savior, but a risen Savior that is alive. And the Bible tells us that we don't have a high priest that's not touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in every way like we were, yet without sin. The Bible says that Jesus is our intercessor that sits at the right hand of the Father. And because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sin and an eternal priesthood that goes on and on forever, which has provided eternal salvation for all those that have trusted in Jesus Christ. I'm going to go on a little tangent for just a moment, but what we believe is totally different than what the rest of so-called religions or beliefs have, because we worship from a salvation that has been accomplished for us, not by us. We're not earning something. We have been given something because of someone who earned it for us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible calls salvation by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. That grace is God's unmerited favor. And the way that God is able to show and demonstrate grace to mankind is not because He saw something worthy in us, but because there's something worthy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of Christ, God is able to give grace. That's why Romans 3 says that we are justified freely by His grace, without a cause. Not something we have done by our own merit, but what Jesus Christ has done. In any teaching, any religion that would tell you otherwise is misleading you, because it makes less of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has done it all. Christ has secured salvation. Christ is the reason that we have eternal security and the reason we have a home in heaven. And what the Bible tells us to do is to put our faith in His work alone for our salvation. Now, this ties in a little bit to Philippians in just a moment, but we understand that we recognize that Christ is sufficient in every way for salvation. But here's the problem, and I've mentioned this briefly in times past, is that oftentimes as good Christian people, that's where we leave it. We leave Christ there at salvation. And even certain religions still worship Christ still on the cross. Well, He's not still on the cross. He has come down from the cross. He went to a tomb and walked out of that in 3 days and then went to the right hand of the Father. And so we will argue and we will dispute and we will challenge people that Christ is sufficient for salvation. And then it is though we look to God and say, "Thank you so much for salvation. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins. I'll take it from here." And we forget and do not recognize that the Christian life not only is begun by the Lord Jesus Christ and His work, but it is continued through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as I live for Him, I am living from, now understand this is going to be quick, but this is key to what I'm going to talk about this morning. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am living from Get this word, okay? I'm going to say it one more time. I'm living from a position of righteousness, not for a position of righteousness, all right? And that's what Philippians is going to tell us this morning, is that I, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am living from my position of righteousness, not for my position of righteousness. So many people, the Bible warns about it. It says they go about seeking to establish their own righteousness. That's not acceptable. God wants us to live in the power of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Philippians 3:10, the verse I had you quote at the end of the service last week, says so clearly. He says, that I may know Him, Christ, and what? And the power of His resurrection. That I not only am saved by Christ, I am kept by Christ, and I, according to Scripture, that I live from my position of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's actually His working in me that produces righteousness. Not me earning or deserving, not for, but from righteousness. You say, Josh, I thought we were going to talk out of Philippians. Well, we are. In Philippians chapter number 1, in verse number 9, the Apostle Paul begins the prayer for the church at Philippi. And I began to explain this to you last week, but 2 weeks ago, but we did not get all the way to verse number 11. Remember in verse number 9, Paul says this. This is chapter 1 of Philippians. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. His prayer is that the church would abound in love more and more towards one another, that they would approve, verse number 10. And we won't go back through all this, but just to kind of catch us up to where we are in this prayer. He says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere or genuine. I explained that to you, that the sculptors of that day would take wax and fill in the cracks of their mistakes, and then they would hold it to the light or expose it to the sun, and if it was fake, then the wax would drip out and it would indicate that it was a fraud. So that's what the word sincere means here. He said that you would be real, that you would be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And then you see in verse number 11, where we'll spend our time this morning, this amazing phrase that he has here in verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, just reading that, I don't know about you, maybe you just read over and don't think a whole lot about it, but I've asked myself as I was studying this passage, what does that mean, the fruits of righteousness? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are, he says, by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. So as we begin to see here, we see some amazing truth being revealed in this scripture as he tells us, and we'll look at this in detail at the end of verse number 11, the source of the fruit, which he says is by Jesus Christ, but he says, I'm to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, from what I understand, that this language or this term that's used here, being a perfect passive participle, and I know you don't really care about that, most of you don't, but it has the idea, that's why it's translated at the beginning here, being filled or having been filled, something that has happened in the past with a continuing result. And so what he's saying here is that because of who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the standing you have in Him, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to produce in you fruits of righteousness. The fruit that will be produced will have divine energy in the Christian life. The fruit of righteousness that can only come from Christ Himself. This is mentioned, this kind of same idea is mentioned in Proverbs 11:30, Amos 6:12, James 3:18. In each of those, I don't want to bog you down all these references, but in each of those, it refers to good works that are produced by God's righteousness in the life of the believer. Let me just stop for just a moment. I've been in the ministry, I guess, close to 20 years, and I have found that a lot of Christians are confused by these things. A lot of Christians try their best to produce in themselves fruit unto God without God. We try in our own power to say, you know, I always joke about like comparison to a diet. Remember I joked with you about the little cookies from Trader Joe's? And it seems like every time I start a diet, we have a tub of those in the house, right? And there they are, and I'm looking at them, and they're looking at me. And when you know how when you're on a diet, the food looks at you, you know, and just kind of looks extra good. And by my own self-power, my own ability, I can't even refrain from a chocolate chip cookie, right? And yet I believe that I can somehow produce what I need in my life by my own power. That's how a lot of Christians believe. There's a lot of religious groups that claim that you are to produce this on your own power and by your own strength. And that leads to defeat, that leads to discouragement, that leads to failure, that leads to difficulty, because we've actually got it wrong. The Bible tells us that the fruit that we are produced is being produced by the power of God, not by our own power. And he says in verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now we understand just a little bit about fruit, that fruit seems to be an indication of life in Scripture. In other words, you don't walk up to a tree and argue with the tree to prove what it is. Just wait for the fruit, right? You'll eventually see what that tree is. In the same way, God is not looking for empty profession, but visible transformation by his power working in us. So Philippians 1:11, as we'll look at this morning, points us to a life that shows Christ is the power and the sustainer of our life and the fruits that are brought about. So because of what Christ has done, I am filled with the fruits of righteousness, not for, but from righteousness. So let's look at a few points through this verse in verse number 11. Number one, what is the source of the fruit? I think the Bible is pretty clear here what it is. I mean, you can't really argue with the phrase in verse number 11, which are by Jesus Christ, the source of the fruit. The fruit that's being produced is not coming by self-effort, but through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this little phrase here. You don't manufacture fruit, you are called to bear fruit. And we'll look at John 15 in just a moment, where it talks about the vine and the branch and how the branch cannot bear fruit unless it is connected to the vine. And so the scripture tells us that we aren't manufacturing fruit, we're actually bearing fruit through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the result of abiding in Christ and living by his power. The Christian life is not necessarily a life of saying, I will, I will, I will, but instead living by the power of the risen Savior. It's like this. Take this as an example for just a moment. Most of you, I understand, we have something in our house that is pretty neat, all right? And you can go to it and you can turn it or lift it up and water will come out, right? It's called a faucet, right? And some people have more doodads and things. Jim and Leslie have a sink in their house where you just touch it and the water comes on. It's so confusing. I'm hitting it, I'm going, and then Leslie can just walk over and it comes on, right? I don't know. But, you know, some are more fancy. Anyway, but let's imagine, you know, that we understand that the sink, right, That's not the producer of the water, right? So if I were to build a house out in the mountains and I didn't have running water, I could not go to Jim and Leslie's and steal their sink, just the faucet, and put it out there, and I could hit it all day. But where's the water? What? It was working at their house, you know, and water was flowing out of it, but now there's no water. Well, you say, Josh, it's simple. The faucet's just the carrier of the water, right? It's got to be hooked to Round Mountain water, right? And we understand that the water has to have a source. And if you have a well, that water's going to come out of the ground. It's going to flow through the pipes, and it's eventually going to come out of the source. Right? So we recognize as the Christian life, we, to bear fruit, to produce water as an example, we must be connected to the source, not just be a faucet, right? I'm a faucet. I'm not connected to anything. I'm going to do everything on my own. A faucet not connected to a source brings forth no water. So God is saying you must be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ by your faith in Him, His righteousness. He is producing these things in you by His power. So the Christian life is about walking and abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing His source. He is the well. He is the flowing water. And I produce according to His working in my life. If our life, I don't want to hurt your feelings with this statement, but listen, if our life is producing righteousness, Jesus has got to be the source. You understand? Jesus is the source. It starts there. And then the Bible says, well, if Jesus is the source, what kind of fruit is it? Well, he mentions in verse number 11, being filled with fruits of righteousness. From righteousness, that the Spirit of God is working in my life and producing fruit. Now, everyone wants to know, what does that look like? What does it look like to produce fruits of righteousness through the Spirit of God? Well, I mean, we could just give some examples from earlier in Philippians. I think love would be one of them, right? He says that I'm asking that you would abound in love. So in other words, the Spirit of God produces the right attitude in our lives with love, humility, and purity. That's something God is producing. God is bringing forth in our lives through the power of Christ. He works, He changes, He molds us, and He produces these fruits. And so the Holy Spirit produces right attitudes. What the Bible clearly tells us, and I was talking about this on Wednesday night, but the book of 1 John tells us, does he not? It's on the men's breakfast. You say you love one another. You say you love God, but you don't love your brother. You're lying. So the Spirit of God produces love, right attitudes. I think the righteousness that comes through Christ will produce right actions. And the Spirit of God works those things. Jesus doesn't lead us away from God. He wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Kindness, integrity, obedience to Scripture, and right responses, forgiveness. That's all part of the fruits of righteousness that are being produced. That Christ is producing an attitude of forgiveness in our heart. Maybe I've told you this story before, but when I was in New Mexico as a youth pastor, I was the only, a rough high school, Moriarty, New Mexico, all right? And I went to the principal and I said, hey, can I get into the high school? He's like, we don't let preachers in. Well, it might help a little bit. But anyway, can I please come? And so after about two or three meetings, he finally let me in. I was the only youth pastor allowed in the high school. And I would go into the high school and I would eat lunch with the kids. And they'd even let me attend some of the classes. And I'd walk the halls with them and things. Anyway, it was a rough place. And so I'm walking down the hall one day. I'm a young guy. I guess I'm, how old was I? 24 maybe, something like that, 23, 24. And this guy, you know, I'm just walking, he runs into my shoulder. You know, just accident. I mean, I thought it was an accident. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Next thing I know, he's trying to fight me. Here I am in the hallway of the high school. I'm thinking, I just got special permission. And this guy in the hallway is saying, hey, you want to go? You want to go? I'm like, go where? What are we talking about here? What is going on? You know, and that attitude, just that, you know, I just want to fight. I want to stand up. And next thing I know, I'm about to be knocked out in the high school. And thankfully, I had this big guy in my youth group. His name was Jorge, right? George. And he was a big old guy. He was a teddy bear, but he looked scary. Next thing I know, he's there, and he's kind of backing the guy down. He's like, leave him alone, leave him alone. He didn't mean to bump into you, you know. And finally, I was spared, and I was thankful for that. But, you know, sometimes in our life as Christians, we have the wrong attitude. We really do. We have that fighting attitude, that attitude that's not being produced by the fruits of righteousness. Sometimes we have the wrong attitudes. We have the wrong actions, and we can have the wrong responses. That's not what Christ is producing in us. That's that flesh that is trying to regain control in our life. So the nature of these fruits are not outward religion, but guess what it is? It's an inward transformation that becomes an outward demonstration of what the Holy Spirit through Christ is really doing in our life. Now let me just wake you up for just a moment, okay? Let me just tell you what I'm trying to get at. For years, I didn't understand these things, all right? For years, I went about trying to live the Christian life by Josh power, by Josh strength, by Josh ability, right? And you know what it led to? Discouragement, defeat. On and on we could go. And then I begin to realize, wait a second here, there has to be more to the Christian life. And I begin to realize that the Christian life is lived not by my power, but by the power of my risen Savior. And so the book of Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He says, you're filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Yield to his power. Now, you want to know why? Well, we say, Josh, why are the fruits, why are they done by Christ? Well, look at what he says in verse number 11. I'm being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, okay? And then he says, the purpose of the fruits. What's the purpose of the fruits? So I look good, right? I want everybody to say, that's a great Christian right there. That guy's got it all together, you know? No, that's not the purpose of the fruits. See, God is to be glorified in what he's doing in our lives. And so he says in verse number 11, unto the glory and the praise of God. The purpose of the fruit that's being produced in my life is for the glory of God's transforming work. It's for the glory of God's grace and God's mercy and God's power and God's cross and God's resurrection. On and on we can go. He is to be given glory for what he is doing in our life. I think the book of Ephesians says it like this, lest any man should what? Boast, right? Because we can walk around and say, boy, I've got it together. Look at me, I'm a great person. No. Anything I am is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not to boast. I am to be a reflector of his grace in my life. When people see your life, do you know who they should think of? The Lord Jesus Christ. They should think of your Father in heaven. They should think of him and not you. You could say, look what God has done in my life. Look how God has transformed my life. The purpose of the fruit is the glory and the praise of God. And you know why? Because the fruit points back. This is catchy, okay? I like this one. The fruit points to the root. And our root is Christ. That's where we're drawing from. And so when our root is Christ, when it comes all the way through and the branches come out and the fruit comes out, it goes back to saying, I know where that came from. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit in our life is pointing back to the root, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a fruitful life becomes a testimony for what Christ has done. Is Christ glorified in my life? Now this helps me a little because I understand. If the fruit, if I'm called to bear fruit, then I realize that it's not about Josh. It's about Christ. It's about allowing his power to mold me and to make me into what he wants me to be. That takes a lot of pressure off of me because I realize it's about what he is able to do, not what I am able to do. And so then he says in verse number 11, unto the glory and the praise of God. Now let's just line this up quickly with the passage I mentioned to you from John chapter number 15. We'll just look through a few of these verses, beginning at verse number 1. He says, I am the true vine. Jesus is speaking, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But then we go on down to verse number 4. It says this, abide in me, he says, and I in you. And look at this. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. The faucet produces no water without being connected to a source. You can tap it and hit it and turn it and lift it all you want. The Bible says here that he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Verse number 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. So the source is the root is of Christ that produces and has given us righteousness and continues to produce righteousness in our lives through his power. And then we continue on down, verse number 7, and look at this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now this verse 8 lines up perfectly with the end of verse number 11 from Philippians 1. He says this, herein is my Father glorified. Philippians 1:11 said the same thing. He says, praise the glory of God at the end of verse number 11. So he says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. How? Through the vine, which is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Christian, we are to be producing fruit, or to be bearing fruit, but our fruit is being brought about through a source other than ourselves, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to this, I use my famous saying when I look at a passage that is exciting and I recognize that it's about Christ and not about me, I typically say, hot diggity dog. It's Christ and his power, Christ and his resurrection, Christ and his word and his grace in my life. He's producing in me. No wonder Paul, when he's writing the church at Ephesus, says in Ephesians 2:10, for I am his workmanship unto good works, right? I'm his workmanship. God is doing a work in me. And so the evidence of this work, the evidence is this fruit that's being produced and driven by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our priority changes, our relationship changes, our speech even changes. So the question I have as we get back to the book of Philippians chapter number 1 in verse 11, being filled or having been filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. Do we see the fruit of Christ in our lives? Are we going about on it on our own? Or do we see the fruit of Christ, the fruits of righteousness, as Philippians says? Is Christ producing fruits in our lives? Are we bearing the fruits of Christ? Not just activity, I'm not asking for that. Not attendance, not just words, but real spiritual fruit that comes from Christ. So a fruitful life is rooted in Christ. A fruitful life is filled with righteousness. And a fruitful life is focused on God's glory as he works in our lives every day. Let's bow our heads together. Joanna and Bethany are going to come and play a song for us this morning. Bow our heads together, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. Are you allowing Christ to work in your life to produce his fruits? Are you a faucet that's connected to nothing and wondering why there's no water coming out? You can turn it on, hot or cold, either one, but if it's not connected to the source, you're not going to see those fruits. Are we living our lives connected and abiding and yielding to the power of Christ in our lives? I'm producing fruits from righteousness, not for. He's doing it. I'm bearing his fruit in my life. Take a moment and talk to the Lord this morning there in your seats. Maybe it's as simple as, Lord, help me to abide in you, walk closer with you. Help me to lay down my self-effort and rely and trust upon you for what you're doing in my life. Beautiful closing song. Look back up here at this moment. Let's stand to our feet. Just want to give you one more little thought to take home. Just some examples of what I'm teaching on this morning. When the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, to the husband, who does he use as an example for how to love? Christ. A little later in the book of Philippians, when he tells us to be humble, who does he use as an example for humility? It's Christ. When you see an example of power and what belongs to the Christian, who does he use as an example? It's Christ. Every time you are told or asked to do something, Christ is always serving as the example. And the reason that is, because he's the one that's going to produce it in you. Let's read our final verse together. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Ready? That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. Let's read that one more time together. Ready? That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. Let's bow our heads together. We'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. May you work and solidify these truths in our heart. Thank you for what you've done. Not only for saving us through Jesus, but you didn't leave us there. Through Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, you produce fruits in our lives. Not for, but from righteousness. You've made us righteous. And Lord, we know that you've done these things. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, again, I pray for each Christian here that we would recognize where the true power is. It's not in ourselves. It's in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we live in victory because of him. Lord, may we recognize what we have and who we are in Jesus Christ. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. I pray that you'd work in every heart. For anyone that does not know Christ, Lord, may they come to him by faith, accepting his free gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.